As you're finding your place, you can take your Bibles this morning and turn with us to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms this morning and chapter number 25, and we will be there momentarily. And a couple other, one other prayer request, pray, ask that you pray for Mandy. She starts tomorrow at Fresenius. And she'll go for training over to Binghamton. So be in prayer for safety of travel on the road there. And then, of course, just pray that all would go well there. But Psalm chapter 25 this morning. And we will be there momentarily. Of course, another year is upon us, and I began praying maybe 2 or 3 months ago about the direction that the Lord, I believe, would have us go here in 2026, and this scripture that we're going to look at kept coming to mind, and I just couldn't wrap my head around what it was actually trying to say to me. I mean, it's one of those scriptures where you've read it maybe 1,000 times, but then that 1,001 time, it finally clicks and the Lord shows you something that he's been trying to show you. But you're there in Psalm chapter 25, and I would invite you to notice there verses 4 and 5. Psalm chapter 25, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." And I want you to focus in on that first part of verse number 4. Show me thy ways. Show me thy ways. And for a few moments this morning, and kind of what we're going to be focusing on this year is thinking about and looking to do things his way. And this morning, looking at the thought, his way of salvation, his way of service. His way of salvation, his way of service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Father, we do thank you now for this opportunity that we have to open your word and to see a truth that might help us be the church and the Christian you'd have us to be. And now, Lord, I just pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply what it is we see this morning. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to hearts. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. And Lord, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray that they would not leave this place without getting that settled, 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven is their home. And Lord, if there's some here this morning that they need to hear from you, we pray, Lord, they'd hear from you as well and find comfort in your word. And now, Lord, we just pray you meet with us in a special and real way as only you can. And for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you. We need you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Show me thy ways. We live in a society today where everybody has a way. Every year begins with decisions. Every year, it seems, begins with an encouragement to make a resolution or multiple resolutions, some small, some life-altering. And every year, every week, every month, every day, we make a decision. And we decide how we're going to spend our time. We make a decision on how we're going to raise our families. We make a decision on how we're going to handle our money. We make a decision on how we're going to handle hardship. We make a decision on how and if we're going to walk with God. And everyone has a way they live their life. But Scripture has for us a warning, and it's this warning in Proverbs 14 and verse 12. The Bible says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And what that scripture is teaching us is just very simply this morning that the culture has a way. Politics has a way. Self-help has a way. I mean, if you were to maybe go and pick up a newspaper and open it to the advertisement section, you'd probably find no shortage of self-help groups that are in our community. Social media has a way. Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, all of these different social medias, they have their own way. Even religion has its own way. But here David does something very different in Psalm 25. And you notice it again there in the first part of verse number 4. David says here, "Show me thy ways. Show me thy ways." In other words, this morning we see that David, he stops trusting his own instincts. He stops trusting his own way. And he says, in essence, "Lord, I don't want my way anymore. I want your way." And this should be the heartbeat of every Christian. Every Christian's testimony, every Christian's desire should be, "Lord, I don't want it my way. I want it your way." And when you and I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were in essence saying, "Okay, Lord, I am trusting you for my salvation. And now, Lord, I am leaving my way behind. And whatever your way is for my life, that is what I am going to do." Now, before we talk about where we're going in 2026, we need to see why David prayed this prayer in the first place. And we see that Psalm 25, of course, we know it's a psalm of David. You see that at the beginning of Psalm 25, it tells you who wrote the psalm. And it was written during a time of personal danger. It was written during opposition from enemies. It was written with an awareness of past sin. And it was written with an uncertainty about the future. You know, we read the psalms, and many of the psalms are victory psalms. You read the Psalms, and a lot of them, the writers, they're high on the mountain. But then there are some where they're not victory psalms, where they're not on the mountain, but they're in the valley. And this here is not a victory psalm. This is more of a directional psalm. Here we find David, he's older now. He's battle-tested, and he's humbled. He's aware that zeal without guidance leads to disaster. Notice again verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5 again. The Bible says there, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." You notice here, David does not pray for God to remove the enemies first. Sometimes when we have trouble come our way, that's usually what we like to do, isn't it? We like to say, "God, listen, I'll go your way as long as you take all the obstacles out of my way first. As long as you remove all the enemies first, Lord, I'll follow after your way." David doesn't do that here. No, he prays for direction first. And that matters. And that brings us to what I believe to be the heart of this psalm. David's prayer for God's way and not necessarily relief from his problems. Notice again what he says, verse number 4. He says there, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. We notice here nothing and not asking for a quick answer. Again, we live in a society where we want quick answers. We pray to God and we expect the answer to come by the time we're done praying. But that's not what David's doing here. Instead, what he's doing when he says, "Show me thy ways, teach me thy paths," he's asking for life's direction. And the reason he's doing it is because God's ways are proven. They're ancient. They're reliable. When you ask for God's ways, you can take it to the bank with a certainty that his ways are true. And when you ask him, "Lord, direct my life," you can be sure that when he leads you, he's going to lead you exactly where you need to go. He's not going to lead you astray. He's not going to lead you down the wrong path. But then verse number five, David says, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Lead me in thy truth and teach me." God leads step by step. We see that God's truth, it's firm, it's faithful, it's unchanging. In a world where things are shaky and in a world where people are unfaithful and where people and places and things and everything we look at, it's fickle and it's changing and it goes and comes with the wind. And if the wind's blowing this direction, well, that's the way they're going. And if the wind's blowing this way, that's the way they're going. With God, there's none of that. He's firm. He's faithful. He's unchanging. And David says, "God, lead me step by step. Lead me in thy truth. And not only lead me in thy truth, but teach me thy truth." And then the second part of verse number five, he says, "For thou art the God of my salvation." For thou art the God of my salvation. We see we have here guidance that is grounded in grace. Obedience flowing from salvation. Because God saves, he is worthy of our obedience. And then forgiveness precedes direction. You first have to be forgiven before you say, "Okay, God, lead my life. Lord, my life is yours to control." It can't be his until he first has your life 100%. And then we see the final part of verse number five. He says, "On thee do I wait all the day." On thee do I wait all the day. Now this is where we get in trouble. That word wait. We don't like to wait. We like to, when we have a plan of action, when we have a plan of attack, we want to go and we want to get it done and get it accomplished yesterday. But we see here, David says, "On thee do I wait all the day." And waiting here, it's not passive, but waiting is active dependence. This is David trusting God's timing and protection. And listen, you and I, we need to learn that this morning, that God's timing is perfect. He's never late. He's never early. He's always right on time. And now David shows us something very important. And that is this: God's guidance is not automatic. It's given to those who meet him on his terms. I want to give you three thoughts this morning about what his way requires in 2026. Number one, his way requires humility. His way requires humility. Psalm 25 and verse 9, the Bible says, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." That word meek has the idea of a greater term of meekness. In other words, you have strength under control. You have a willingness to be taught. And this is a principle we need to learn and learn very quickly, and that is God does not guide the proud. Guidance begins where pride ends. And see, where we get in trouble is we think we know more than God. We think we know more than the Bible. We think we know more than His Word. We think we know more than His principles. We think we know, because we have experience in A, B, or C, we think that that experience trumps what God has already said in His Word. And that's where pride gets us into trouble. But we see that humility alone, well, that's just not enough either. Because not only must you be humble, you must be humble enough, you must be willing to trust God when you cannot see the whole picture. And again, that goes back to the idea of waiting on God. Sometimes we can't see the whole picture. And sometimes that drives us up one side of the tree and down the other. Because we want to see the whole picture. We want answers now. We want answers today. And sometimes God just says, wait. Sometimes God just says, not now. But we see His way requires humility. But then secondly, we see His way requires trust over sight. His way requires trust over sight. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Listen, we know we can quote scripture after scripture. We walk by faith, not by sight. Because listen, if we walked by sight, half the things we do for God would never get done. Half the things that a church does for God would never get done. Because if all we're doing is looking by sight and not being guided by faith, then we're not doing what God has commanded us to do. We're called to trust God above understanding. When we don't understand it, we're still to trust God. We're to rest, or our faith is to rest in God's character, not circumstances. Listen, God knows exactly what your circumstance is this morning. But what are you resting in? Are you resting in those circumstances? Are you fretting about those circumstances? Are you worried about those circumstances? Or are you resting in God's character? Are you resting in who God is? And then we see God reveals the path one step at a time. One step at a time. And again, here's where many of us struggle. Because trusting God's way often means waiting on God's timing. And we don't like that. Like I said, we pray. We want the answer when we say amen. And it doesn't always work that way. We have to be faithful in our prayers. And then thirdly and finally this morning, we see that His way is often slower, but always safer. His way is often slower, but always safer. You've heard me tell the story, and it's a, you know, joke at this point, but you know, we've all been there. You're driving down the highway, you're driving down the street, and you're not going fast enough for the person behind you. And so they come around you, they cut you off, they pass you, and then not even 5 minutes later, you both wind up at the same red light. Them wanting to go fast got them no further than you got. And listen, you know, God's way is rarely the fastest, but God's way is always the wisest. God's way is always the best. Listen, shortcuts, they look great until you get to the shortcut and you find that the bridge is out. One year, Mandy and I, we were going home to Texas to visit her family, and we were following the GPS, and it took us on a road that was, I guess, still under construction. And we're thinking, after a while, we stopped seeing cars. And we're both thinking, well, why don't we see any cars? And you know, we're just driving along, and sure enough, we come, and we come to a spot where there was no way to go further. The bridge was out. The shortcuts look good until that bridge is out. And listen, God, He avoids dangers we cannot see. Moral cliffs, spiritual dead ends, lifelong regret. And listen, those delays that we, you know, we despise and we hate and we cannot stand, those delays are often God's divine protection. So the question we need to ask ourselves this first Sunday of the new year is simply not where do we want to go, but are we willing to follow God's way? Listen, we all have a destination we have in mind. We all have a place we want to go in life. But are we willing to get there by following God's way? And the more important question is, if your way is not His way, are you willing to yield your way to His way? So oftentimes we come to church, and a lot of times church can be a lot about information. We give announcements from the bulletin. That's a lot of information. We preach. I'm guilty of this when I'm preparing Bible studies or sermons, because yesterday I was finishing this message and I went from like 15 pages of notes down to 2 pages of notes to finally where I settled on 7 pages of notes. And because my thing is, I'm reading the scriptures, but then I have my commentaries and my notes and everything else, and there'll be a good note here, and I think, oh, that'll be good, and so I stick it in, and so church can, you can come to church and you can come and be overloaded with information. But walking in God's way is not about information. It's about transformation. And that is, does the information you get when you come to church from the Word of God, do you allow it to transform your life? Do you allow it to transform who you are? God's way this morning requires a humble heart, a trusting faith, and a patient spirit. Here's the final truth this morning. God's way may not be the easiest, but it is always the right one. And so as we step into 2026, the challenge, the prayer, is not complicated. Lord, show us Your way and help us to walk in it. Lord, show us Your way and help us to walk in it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.